Amen. Yeah. So last Wednesday we talked about praying. You know, we don't want to limit God in our lives, so we pray. That's how you release a lot of things. And we discussed several different things about successful prayer last Wednesday. But I want us to start in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. It says, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. In order to pray the prayer of faith, we must know the will of God and pray in line with it. We must know the will of God. I struggled with it. I've seen a lot of other people struggle with it. They're always trying to find what God's will for them is in their lives. He wrote it out. He put it in the Bible. He wrote it out in the Bible. That's His will for you. Now we know that His will is His word. So when we pray, we want to return His word to Him. We don't have to go into the throne room and pray to Him wondering what's going on. He already gave us the answers. You know, if sickness happens, we know that it's His will that we be healed. We already know that. There's people running around that have been told that it may not be His will for you to get better. That's not, they can't find that in the Bible. There's some people running around saying that it's not God's will for them to be prosperous. That's not in the Bible. John said, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. God made His will perfectly clear to us in the Bible. People, here's the thing. When people don't get a desired result, they get kind of weird and they say, well, it must not have been God's will. That's one thing. They're bouncing around in doubt and unbelief, and that can be fixed. That can be fixed through proper teaching. It's quite another thing when they make a doctrine out of it. Because when they make a doctrine out of it, then they spread it to whole congregations sometimes. And then there's a whole bunch of people running around with a mixed up idea of who God really is. And that shouldn't be. The Word of God is the perfect will of God. There's no more scriptural prayer than that of praying the Word of God, putting it in personal and present tense, back to the Father. We just take His word and return it to Him. You know, Jesus always prayed the answer. That's the easiest thing for us to do is to just take His word, take His promise, and pray it back to Him. And here's the key. When Jesus was at the tomb of Lazarus, He gave us one of the most important keys to answered prayer that we could ever have. Thank you, Father. See, we spend a lot of time asking Him for what He's already given us instead of thanking Him for what He's given us. See, when you ask Him, obviously you don't understand what He's already done. But when you thank Him for your healing, Now you put yourself in that position where you're receiving it. When you thank Him for making you prosperous, you put yourself in that position where you're receiving it. When you thank Him for protecting you, you put yourself in that position where you're the protected one. Anything contrary to the Word of God is not the will of God. That's one of the biggest things people have to understand. God will always agree with His Word. The Word will always agree with God. Jesus will always agree with the Word. The Word will always agree with Jesus. Holy Spirit will always agree with the Word. The Word will always agree with the Holy Spirit. They will not ever contradict one another. They will always be in agreement. And they will be in agreement with the Word. A lot of times people start going on feelings. And they'll start running around and get wild. And then they'll say, man, this thing just feels so right. I know it's got to be from God. And I say, okay, can you show me some scripture to base that emotion on? And most of the time they just can't. People will tell me, we're moving to this big city. We got all these opportunities. We got the jobs are really good there. The schools are really good there. There's a lot to do in this town. And say, well, where are you going to church? Oh, we haven't figured that out yet. And I say, you know, that's kind of a trap. The first thing you should do is ask God where He wants you to go to church. And then everything else will line up. The job will line up. The house will line up. The opportunities will line up. Everything will be there if you'll just ask Him where He wants you to be positionally. But it's easy to get sidetracked and chase the opportunity instead of chase the opportunity giver. If we are in doubt about the perfect will of God in a given situation, say maybe we've looked in the Bible, we've got a problem, we've been looking in the Bible trying to find an answer, we haven't found it. We get into the Word, we pray through it, we ask the Father to give us a promise to stand on. He will always give us one. Look at Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. Huh? Confusing? Jeremiah chapter 33. Verse 3 says, call unto me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you knowest not. If we'll call unto Him, He will show us the answer. Remember, I told you, the Holy Spirit will bring all things to remembrance. And this is why it's important to read the Bible like a novel at least once. Just go through it. Don't worry about understanding anything. Don't worry about studying it, breaking it down. Just read it. Get it in you. At least get it in you so the Holy Spirit has something to work with. And then He'll bring it to remembrance. And then you can go back and find it. And there will be your answer. But most of the time, we'll be able to find it in the answer, in the Bible. We'll be able to find our answer in the Bible because every problem already has a solution. He may cause a certain scripture to loom out at us from His Word. He might gently impress a peculiar verse upon our spirit, or while reading through His Word, we may suddenly know we have found our answer. There's a lot of ways that He may speak to us, making His will known. A personal word from God spoken to our hearts by His Spirit in regard to a specific need or situation is a rhema word. You'll suddenly know you have the answer. A lot of times when we can't figure out the answer and we're struggling and we're really trying and we're seeking and we're studying, we're praying and we're doing everything we can to figure it out, we get cluttered. Our spirits are busy, our minds are busy, our minds are racing 100 miles an hour because we got this big problem and we got to have an answer. But it's not until we get quiet, usually when we wear ourselves out and we finally end up going to sleep, and finally sometime along 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning you wake up suddenly and you have answer to the problem that you so desperately needed. That's because you finally got still and quiet so that He could interact with your spirit and get that word to you so you understood it. And sometimes in this busy world, in our busy lives, sometimes it's hard to just get still and quiet. But we have to. As we receive His word in faith with thanksgiving, our need is met. His word will come to pass. Remember, when He gives us the answer, we thank Him for it. We have the problem we've been struggling with. We find His answer in the Bible. We thank Him for it. We receive it right then. We receive that word right there. We believe what we see. We believe that we receive our request the moment we pray on the authority of the Word alone. Look at Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Jesus told us how to pray. And we don't have to go running around trying to move rocks and mountains, but we could have a mountain of debt, we could have a mountain of sickness, we could have a mountain of social problems, we could have all kinds of different problems. That's our mountain. And He is telling us to speak to our mountains, not talk about our mountains, but speak to our mountain. You may get diagnosed with some sickness, and you go running around, you talk about your sickness as if it's your very own. And He didn't ever tell you to do anything like that. He said to talk to that sickness. He said to talk to it and tell it to go away. Mark chapter 11, verse 24 says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." Another translation says, "Believe that you have received them already." Here's the thing, anyone can believe when they see the answer with their physical eyes. There's an old world saying that says, "I'll believe it when I see it." And that's a worldly saying, but it's just as active in the church as it is out in the world. I run into a lot of Christians that won't believe it unless they see it. And that's just not faith. You're not going to receive it. If you've got to see it before you believe it, you're not going to see it. Anyone can believe when they see that answer with their physical eyes. That's not faith. Only faith moves mountains. God says the moment it prays, I have what I have requested. It is true unto me according to the word of God, which cannot lie. The word is all a faith man needs as evidence. Only the word. This is where we take that scripture that we walk by faith, not by sight. We get our promise from God and we pray that answer back to Him, and then we do not look at our circumstances. This is a lot easier said than done, because obviously when it's somebody else in pain, it's easy for us to pray the prayer of faith and not look at the circumstances, because we don't feel it in our bodies. You know, we don't feel that pain. But when we're fighting that prayer of faith on ourselves, that's where we really have to focus on the Word of God, because we do feel that pain. And we're not denying that the sickness is there. We're not denying that the pain's there. We know it's there. We know it's very real. But it's not ours. It's an attack from Satan, and we're not going to have it. So we have, when it's in your own body, you'll have to really double down on your effort to keep confessing His word and keep talking to your mountain, telling it to go away, and not talk about it as if it's your own. In the natural world, we see and then we believe. But in God's order, we believe and then we see. If we believe, we receive. And if we doubt, we do without. Once we've asked and received, we must stand firm on the word, resisting all thoughts contrary to it. We refuse them in the name of Jesus. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. It tells us that we are to be casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So we pray the prayer of faith. We got a promise. So we prayed the prayer of faith. We sowed the seed into our situation. We sowed the seed of God into our situation. Now we had to stand and watch. This is where a lot of people miss it. We got to stand and watch. We got to make sure we planted seed in good soil. We've got to make sure that we don't let any weeds get in there and take over our crop. A weed is those bad ideas. See, the devil shoots these fiery darts at you. He shoots these bad ideas at you. You know, you prayed the prayer of faith. You're in an atmosphere of faith and you're feeling good about what you just did. You're standing on the Word of God. You're around all your church friends. Everything's going good. But guess what? Eventually, you're going to have to go home. So maybe you're active and you're still shouting the Word of God at home, and you get through supper time and it's time to go to bed. And this is where it's crucial. You're going to get quiet. The same way God talks to you when you get quiet, the devil will talk at you when you get quiet too. And you'll be laying there in bed and he'll say, "Did you really pray that prayer the right way? Do you really think that you got healed? How about that pain in your body? It's still there. Do you think something really happened?" And people will entertain those thoughts. And this is what I call mental basketball. They'll start bouncing back and forth. Then they'll start wondering, did I make a mistake? Did I do this right? It's important to understand you're not going to fight a thought with a thought. You have to fight a thought with the word. So when those thoughts start coming, you have to cast them down in the name of Jesus. Those high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, those are deals like, say, we know that by His stripes we were healed. That high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You still got that pain in your body. Are you sure? That's a high thing. Cast it down. We found a promise in there that said, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It don't look like you're going to have enough money at the end of the month. How are you going to pay all those bills? That's a high thing. Cast it down. But you got to use your mouth. So you just you return God's word to God, you return it to the devil. He said, oh, my God said He would supply all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You let Him have it. But we have to wake up and start doing this. We have to. We have to use our mouth. We have to fill it with the word of God and say what God says about us. There is a specified way for us to enter into the presence of the Lord. You know, we have boldness to enter into His presence because of the blood of Jesus. But in Psalms chapter 100, verse 4, it tells us how. We enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Right back to where Jesus went to the tomb and He said, thank you, Father, for hearing my prayers. And I thank you that you always hear my prayers. Thankfulness. Being thankful will get you farther than anything you can imagine. Because what you're doing when you thank God for something, you're receiving it from Him. You've taken your place, you've taken yourself from the position of asking Him for something that He's already given you and receiving something that He promised you. When you thank Him for it, you got it. Because now you put yourself in that spot where it's already yours. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. It says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. We're to pray for all men. Now there's the prayer. The last two Sundays we're studying the prayers in Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 3, where we were praying for other believers. Now when we find somebody that isn't born again and we know it, this is the prayer. God said that He would that all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So we just return His words to Father, You said that You would that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. I'm asking You in the name of Jesus for so-and-so's salvation. I ask You, Father, to send the Holy Spirit to his heart, draw him to the cross so that he can receive Jesus. That's a prayer for somebody that's not born again. But we returned God's word to him. Now we can thank him for their salvation. I just got to tell this story. I knew a really good friend of mine. He was a hard case. I mean, this guy was, he was probably two steps from death or prison, whichever came first. And he was so strung out on drugs, and I loved this guy. He was a great guy, but he just got on methamphetamine, and he just couldn't get away from that needle. And I made it a point to pray for this guy. I spent a lot of time out in the oil field praying for him. And then finally, one day, I prayed, and it was like I got a release. It was like, I said, I got it. And I didn't pray for him again. I just said, thank you. And I didn't hear from him for a long, long time. And then he showed up on Facebook, and I friended him. And he was clean. And I was watching him one day. He had a picture, and I said, you know something, man? You look like a preacher. And he said, I am a preacher. Praise God. God, not only did God save him, but he's using him. Praise God. Don't give up. I don't care how ugly the circumstances may be in somebody's life. Don't give up on them. Just pray for them and let God take care of it. And then watch God do some amazing things in their life. It's cool. Well, thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We praise you for your word. We praise you that you honor your word and that you sent your word to us. And that your word changes us from the inside out. It changes our circumstances. It changes our lives. Your word changes our communities. It changes our governments. Your word literally changes our whole world. And we thank you for your word. And that your word alone is enough for us to stand on. And that your word will conquer the evil, not only in our communities, but our whole world. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.